Hello, friends, and welcome to Everyday Truth with Kurt Skelly. We're here to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation. We're studying the book of Romans and learning how the power of the gospel impacts every part of our lives. Now, let's join Kurt for today's episode.
Hey, friends, welcome back to today's episode in Romans chapter 12, looking at verse 10 today, but really looking at a number of little standalone expectations that God has for believers. Remember that Romans chapter 12 begins this really practical section of the book of Romans. Sometimes we call it the imperative section. So based upon what we know about God and our sinfulness and yet our redemption through Christ, the opportunity we have to live by God's grace and through his resurrection power, well, we ought to just give our lives to God. God, here I am, lock, stock, and barrel. Thank you for the gifts that you've given me. I humbly receive them. I want to faithfully distribute my time, talent, and energies to others. And then here's the way. Here's the loving way by which we do that. So Romans chapter 12 helps us to understand in a number of just little short, pithy statements what kind of attitude we ought to have in the way that we express God's love to other people. So last episode, we talked about don't be a faker. Don't be a counterfeit. Don't have a feigned, F-E-I-G-N, feigned, faked faith. Remember, Paul said to Timothy, I'm grateful that you have an unfeigned faith, a without hypocrisy faith. And that's the kind of genuineness that God is looking for in you and in me. So here in Romans 12, let your love be without fakery, without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. You know, get to know God through his word. And those things that don't speak to the character of God, learn to hate them. And the things that are good and right and honoring to God and helpful to others, cleave to that. Let your life be all about that. That's what you ought to stick to. In fact, I like that verse that talks about proving all things and holding fast that which is good. So filter. Let your mind, your scripture-filled mind, be a filter of the things that come into your life. And then the things that you make commitments to, the things that you make priorities, the things that you cleave to, let them be the things that pass the test of scripture and of God's glory in your life. Cleave to that. So we talked about that last episode. Look at verse number 10, where the Bible says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Be kindly affectioned one to another. When I think about the word affection, I think about a warmth. If I'm affectionate to somebody, I'm showing a warm spirit toward them. Be kindly affectioned one to another. Sometimes we talk about the one another commands in the Bible. This is one of them, one to another, that we ought to have this kind of attitude toward fellow believers. Now, really toward everybody, but especially toward the people that are of the household of faith. That's the point that the Apostle Paul made in Galatians chapter 6. So be kindly affectioned one toward another with brotherly love. And I think you probably know this, but brotherly love translates one Greek word, which is the word Philadelphia, Philadelphia. Phileo is love, and Adelphos is brother. So Philadelphia is brotherly love. And what that means is a love that sees the object of its love as having intrinsic value. So let brotherly love continue, he says in another place. And the point is this, that when you are born into the family of God, not only do you have God as your father, but then you have other believers as your brethren. They are also the sons of God or the children of God. And so I have brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes we even use that language, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, depending on your cultural context. But the point is this, that person has been saved by God's grace just as I. That person is someone on whom God has set his love and has saved. And there's a value that person has simply because he is a mutual child of God. And so I need to love somebody because they have intrinsic value, as opposed to agape love. Agape love means I love in spite of who you are. I love you because of who I am. That's God's love for the world. For God so loved the world, agape love. That there was nothing intrinsically in sinful man that would make God love him, but God chose to love him. But the Bible says there's an added incentive when it comes to other believers because there is intrinsic value as we look at others to realize that I can love this person because they have intrinsic value to be loved. Love them with a brotherly love. I think about what Paul said to the church at Thessalonica. He said, when it comes to brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. I mean, that church was just a loving church, and they had a working faith and a laboring love, and they helped each other, and that ought to be the testimony of every healthy church. But watch the added component that the Bible gives us here in verse number 10. So be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. So what's a good indication that we're kindly affectioned? What's a good indication that we are loving our brethren? Well, the Bible says that when we're putting them, or let's just make it singular, when you're putting him, when you're putting her ahead of yourself. And this ought to remind you of the great passage in Philippians chapter 2, where the Bible says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery, not a thing to be grasped at, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And we read that great, what we call the kenosis passage of Philippians chapter 2. And the point is this, Jesus lived for others. And he was willing to take a lower, descending, lower, condescending position time after time for the benefit of others. And is that my spirit? Is that your spirit? So the Bible says that one of the ways by which we can express brotherly love, the very love of Christ who loved the brethren, is for us to, in honor, out of respect and deference, prefer one another. Let them be first. Let each esteem other better than themselves. We're going to find that verse right here in the book of Romans. And so what a great practical way by which to express love for the brethren. Okay, look at verse number 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So in staccato fashion, the Apostle Paul gives us three quick ones here. Not slothful in business, not lazy. Sometimes if we're not careful, we will rely upon our giftedness. I think the church of Corinth did that. The Apostle Paul said to them, you come behind in no gift. And the point there is, of all the churches I minister to, you're the most gifted. You've got the most spiritual gifts. But giftedness does not necessarily equate to godliness. So here the Apostle Paul is saying, regardless of what gift you have, exercise that gift with diligence, not slothful in what you do. That's what the word business here means. It doesn't mean business as in the corporate business world, but it means business as in doing what you're supposed to do. For a mom, the business of homemaking, or for a pastor, the business of pastoring and shepherding the flock. So not slothful, not lazy. Not everyone can be talented, but everyone can be faithful. Not everyone can be multi-gifted, but everybody can work hard. And a common denominator among all believers is a work ethic. Paul comes back to that often in his epistles, where it says, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so the Bible talks about giving honor, a double honor to an elder who labors in the word of God and in doctrine. So the point there is that we ought to be people that work hard. We ought to be people that make the most out of. And there's no place in the Christian life for laziness. So not slothful in business, but see it there? Verse number 11, fervent in spirit. The conjunction's not there, but I think it's implied. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. So fervent means passionate. The word means hot in spirit. A person who is walking with the Lord is a person that guards his attitude, keeps a passionate attitude toward the things of God, guards his spirit. The spirit here is a small s. It means the human spirit. So, wow, do you guard your attitude? Do you guard your attitude to have a spirit of activeness and a spirit of passion for the things of God? I think that's so important for a leader. Not faking. By the way, this does not speak into your feelings. If all you do is say, well, today I feel like doing things, and I feel like I have a desire to serve God. I feel like sharing my faith with other people. I feel like if all you ever do is serve God when you feel like it, you'll be both lazy and unfervent. Why? Because emotions are unpredictable. No, fervent in spirit here means that we're guarding our attitude and we're maintaining an attitude of active and passionate focus on the things that are right. Choosing to have that spirit. Be hot, be zealous, therefore, and repent, Paul said to the church at Laodicea. That's the point. So, fervent in spirit, not slothful in business. And then watch the last one there in verse number 11, serving the Lord. So put those three together. They're together in this one verse. So not slothful in business. So there's our work ethic, right? Then a fervent in spirit, there's our attitude, our work ethic and our attitude. And then serving the Lord, there's our purpose. There's our purpose. We're serving the Lord. And I think that's important because in our service of other people, sometimes we forget that we're actually serving the Lord. Inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And not with the eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of God, doing the will of God from the heart. Ye do serve the Lord Christ, Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 6. And what will help your attitude, fervent in spirit, and what will help your work ethic, not slothful in business, is when you remember who you're serving, whom you're serving. You're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So I know sometimes when you do it for him, he didn't write you a thank you note. When you do it for her, she didn't seem appreciative. When you did it for them, it seems like it was fruitless. But when we remember that we're serving the Lord, then we can have a renewed passion in service. Then we can have a renewed stick-to-itiveness in our commitment, not slothful. I hope that helps because I think these three go together. We're going to quit there. Verse number 11, we'll come back to verse number 12 next time. I know you'll join us. I appreciate that. And we'll see you there. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If you enjoy Everyday Truth, take a moment to subscribe or share the podcast with a friend. Until next time, God bless.